Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having seven kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
We're halfway through with the show, but boy, we got a lot to come. In 1 hour, the latest move by the L.A. County District Attorney, George Gascon. You're not going to believe who's getting preferential treatment when charged with crimes. We will talk about it at 5:05. And this hour, the most shocking story I have seen in a long time. I had to look several times at the pictures to believe it. We'll explain what that is coming up, but we begin the hour with, we're going to talk about the Idaho college student murders. You probably know by now, since it happened on November 13th, 3.5 weeks ago, four college students were murdered in their sleep at an off-campus house. They attended the University of Idaho, and not a lot has been learned from the elaborate police investigation into this involving not just Moscow, Idaho police, but state police and FBI investigators. We're going to bring back to the show Brian Enten from News Nation. He talked to us last week ahead of a special that they aired over the weekend. He is in Moscow, and we're going to see what he can tell us.
Brian, what's going on?
Yeah, hey, thanks for having me on again, guys. Development just within the last hour. It's been quiet for the last couple of days, at least with new information from police. Just within the last 2 hours, Moscow police are now saying that they're looking for a white Hyundai Elantra, years 2011 to 2013, with an unknown license plate. They say that car was in the immediate area of the house where the murders happened back on the morning of November 13th, and they are now trying to find that car. So they've put out a picture of a car that looks like it, and they're asking the public in this area to be on the lookout.
Where'd they get this information from?
Yeah, I was going to say 3 weeks later, now they're looking for a car.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking, too. Why now? Why 3 weeks later? We don't know if it was someone in the area who saw the car and thought it was suspicious. Maybe they picked it up on a camera. They're not saying that the people in the car are the killers. They're just saying that that car was in the immediate area around that time, and they want to talk to the people who were inside.
So they're not indicating whether it was parked in front of the house or it was just driving by.
Right. No, they're not. But I'm actually sitting outside the house right now. It's a dead end street. There'd be no reason to come on the street unless you either lived in one of the houses or the apartments here. So you wouldn't just be sort of cruising by like for no reason. But, you know, it's not like it's not a high traffic road or anything like that.
So this street, homes on both sides or apartments on both sides.
Yeah, I wonder how close these homes are.
Shouldn't there be Ring video all up and down?
Yeah, it's a good question. Well, first of all, they're really close. I didn't realize until I got out here. When you see it on TV, it just looks like this one house and there's trees around. It's actually very, very dense. There's a ton of houses around, and there's a few really big apartment buildings, and it's all students, and they're walking around constantly going to and from class. So it's a very busy area. It's not like a quiet neighborhood at all.
Are there homes behind the house?
There are. It's a little more wooded behind the house, but there are homes back there. There's a parking lot. And you mentioned, like, cameras and Ring cameras. There's not a lot of cameras here. I don't know. It seems like it's just because it's a small town. They haven't had a murder in 7 years. Like, even the businesses don't seem to have cameras. The apartment buildings don't have cameras. It's not like a big city where there's cameras everywhere.
They don't even have porch pirates who steal your packages, huh?
I guess not, yeah. And it's a beautiful town. I think before this, it was, like, the perfect place to live.
And how are the people doing there? We understand a lot of students did not show up when they returned from the Thanksgiving break. And I imagine they're very frustrated and scared.
Yeah, we're told about a fourth of the students didn't come back. They were given the option to do online classes. The students who are here, especially women, walking in groups, they don't come out after dark. Several locksmiths have said they've been busier than ever. People are putting extra locks on their doors. There really is this feeling that the killer could just be, like, right here walking among everyone else. So people are definitely, like, freaked out about the whole thing.
It's funny. The people are reacting like it's a traditional serial killer. They're not acting like this was a targeted attack, maybe a jealous ex-boyfriend or a stalker, something of that nature.
Yeah, I think that's because there's just no information. Like, the police say they believe it's targeted, but they don't have evidence to back that up, at least that they're telling us. The families haven't been able to name any stalkers. We've interviewed a ton of people, friends, family. No one has any information about, oh, this person was weird or that person was weird. So the people in town are like, okay, you're saying you think it's targeted, but like, why are we supposed to believe that at this point, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the father of one of the girls, Kaylee Goncalves, he is making a lot of noise about this.
He is, and I interviewed him, and he is, I mean, the guy is just totally torn apart. And, you know, all he ever wanted to do was protect his daughter, and now he's in this situation, and you know, it's like people unravel. I mean, it's can you even imagine? It's like an unimaginable situation that these families are in. The killer on the run. And then for him, who you talk about, Steve Goncalves, you know, he lost his daughter. His daughter's best friend, Maddie, they've been best friends forever. The parents are best friends. That was like losing another daughter, too, on top of it. So it's like an unimaginable, you know, feeling for them right now.
So is it true that he's hired some private investigators to try to help?
So what I heard, I think that may have been misconstrued a little bit. My conversations with him and the family are that they're considering it. They're looking into it. They're, you know, but I think at this point they're trying to give police some time. But they're also just really, really frustrated because they're not getting any more information than the public. And one of their biggest frustrations is police have put out this list of people that they've cleared, but they're not giving any information about what the alibis are, and they're not telling the parents the alibis. And they're like, how are you clearing these people so quickly? Like, we want to know why.
I heard one of the sad developments, Brian, they're returning some of the belongings to the families.
Yeah, that was probably, the vigil was very, very sad. And then today, this is probably like the most emotional day, I would say, just being out here, because the police chief himself rented a U-Haul, drove it to the house, backed it in, and then for like 2 hours, the officers slowly carried out the boxes of all these young kids' possessions. And, you know, it was like it made you think back to college. I mean, it was all the stuff these college kids had, you know, their desk, their chairs, their makeup, their vacuum, their pillows, their bedding. And it was just like, you know, you got a sense of like these families are now going to go have to receive these things. And it's just heartbreaking.
Also, it tells me that maybe they're done forensically, because clearly they wouldn't release any belongings or anything in the house until they've done all their evidence collecting.
Yeah, you would think. I mean, they did say that. I don't think that everything is out of the house. I don't know if they left some stuff behind. It is still technically a crime scene. I mean, I'm out here now. They've still got all the crime scene tape up. They've still got a security guard out here watching it 24/7. The prosecutor told me they intend to leave it like this really indefinitely right now, without anyone caught, just in case they have to come back and look at something. But they took a lot. I mean, they filled a U-Haul up today.
Is the FBI still there? And what are they doing?
Yeah, the FBI is here. They've got a couple dozen agents working the case. So Moscow PD, which is a very small agency, they are still in charge. It is their investigation, but they're relying on the FBI and also the Idaho State Police to do a lot of the behind-the-scenes work, the tracing the cell phones, the running the DNA, all the fancy stuff that the FBI has. They're assisting with that. And we've seen FBI agents go in and out of the house, several times.
All right, Brian, thank you very much. Senior national correspondent for News Nation. When can folks see you reporting on this on the channel?
Yeah, check out News Nation. We're a newer cable channel. We are on most cable systems. If you go to newsnationnow.com, you click on the channel finder, you can put in your zip code, and you'll be able to tell what channel it is on your TV. But we've been covering this every night. We're out here way more than anybody else. So if you're interested in the story, we've got you covered here.
All right, Brian Enten, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you so much.
All right, more coming up. The police chief of Moscow did do an interview with Fox News. We can play a little bit of it, and apparently he got pretty emotional. This is very frustrating. Also, something else you probably need to know about this. In the absence of a grand witness or some incredible information or a confession by somebody, they do have to pour through this forensic evidence taken from the house, the hair, the blood. That could take a long time. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app. The Moist Line is coming back day after tomorrow. This is a quick heads up. If you want to leave a message, use the iHeartRadio app, the microphone icon. Call the toll-free number, 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. All right, well, we were just talking about the Idaho murders. We talked to Brian Enten, who's the senior national correspondent at News Nation. And, of course, they've been covering this story. Not a lot of developments today, except we'll tell you they're looking for a car now, a white Hyundai Elantra, which may or may not have anything to do with the murders. But apparently they just realized, or maybe they were already looking for it and they had no luck, so now they're putting out a public call. The chief of the Moscow, Idaho Police Department is James Fry. He agreed to sit down with Fox News' Alexa McAdams and to talk about the case. And here is an excerpt where he got a little worked up.
I'm a dad with daughters, and that's tough. We're human. We don't go to these and just turn it off. It affects us, but we have a job to do, and we're going to continue to do that job. We're going to continue to push forward.
He apparently used the line, "This case is not going cold," about four times in one sentence. I said, no stone will go unturned. This case is not going cold.
Well, those are just words. And that's what he's hearing. Everybody says the case has already gone cold. There's no further leads. There's nothing new day after day. It's getting very repetitive. And nobody's trusting them. It's one thing to say, oh, we've got a lot of information. We just can't reveal it because we don't want the bad guy
to know.
They're
not saying that, though, yeah.
Yeah, but maybe that's true or maybe it's not. Maybe it's
I don't
just...
think they have a lot of information. They've got a lot of evidence they've collected at the crime scene.
What?
But, blood, hair, maybe footprints, something like that. But they don't have a lot of other evidence.
Right.
This is going to have to be a forensic solve. I mean, what they do is, if eventually they, and this is what we talked about yesterday, they have to kind of separate out because this was a party house with a lot of people coming and going. So whatever they pick up at the scene may or may not be part of the murderer's profile, or it could be part of anybody that visited that house.
But for now, that only helps if the guy's DNA is already in a database somewhere.
Yes, except did you see the other possibility, which is becoming more and more common, John, to go to one of those genetic databases.
Oh, and you work backwards. You see if there's any a partial match to his
relatives. You submit the DNA, and if there's a match to somebody that submitted their DNA to one of those genetic finder, genetic history, then maybe they can do a little searching through that. I mean, well, that solved a few cases.
That's why I'm more interested in the FBI here. I mean, I've totally given up on the Moscow police department. They have zero experience. They have as much experience if you took six random people in the cubicles here, right, and gave them the job of solving the case. They've got the same amount of experience as the entire Moscow police department. Right. Now, the FBI, you've got the biggest heavy hitters in the country, presumably, and they should be doing something sophisticated, like I don't know if the DNA is ready yet.
They're too busy investigating Trump.
Yeah, right. Why don't they take everybody who's been following Trump around for the last 5 years and put them on this case? Because, you know, it's kind of frustrating to have to hear quotes every day from the police chief, who seems like a nice guy, but clearly he's in way over his head. And clearly the whole department doesn't have a clue, and it may already be too late. I mean,
it says here they have to take photographs, write notes, create 3D scans. Investigators have to go through the scene, swabbing surfaces for DNA and fingerprints, collecting blood samples, looking for clues. Many basic details have not been released, including the exact location of each victim, the order in which they were killed, and the extent of their wounds.
They're going to find DNA and fingerprints, probably from this guy, except they also had 100 other students going through that house for all the parties. And all the other activities going on. So that's neither.
Except blood would be different. Not a lot of the students would have left blood. If they find any blood from the killer.
Right. But
if they fought back and they were able to inflict some sort of blood damage, would be big.
If that's in a database somewhere, or his relatives are in a database somewhere, then maybe you're going to have something. But that's going to take a long time.
Yeah, I saw two different profilers. One who theorized, this I heard over the weekend, that this is a first-time killer because he left a pretty sloppy crime scene. Then I just read one now that says, no, this is someone who's killed before.
For every theory that's gone public for a day, I've heard the opposite, which means nobody knows anything.
No.
Everybody's just guessing, and everybody gets their media moment to have a quote in the paper, a little soundbite on television, but nobody knows.
They have not told us, at least publicly, how the killer entered and exited the home, but they did say there were no signs of forced entry, no property damage, and nobody was sexually assaulted.
It's kind of scary if you sneak into a house in the middle of the night, 3 a.m, and it's dark, and you're in a rural area or at least a small town area without a lot of cameras. You could get away with this if you keep your mouth shut. And
Definitely, because the trail will go cold.
Yeah.
Unless something pops out with these forensics, which can take weeks, maybe even months to nail down. Well, here's the answer to your question. The FBI has assigned 50 investigators to the case. That's a lot of people.
That is. But they're not saying anything.
The state police has given more than a dozen investigators, and they may have some experience with murders, the state police. So with all these people working on this, and then Moscow itself has 6 detectives. I'm kind of surprised Moscow's police department actually has 6 detectives just because it's a very small town, but
padded budget. Everybody's friends are hired.
You might like to know, or not, U.S. police made arrests in less than half of the homicides in the year 2021. An analysis of 2019 data from the Bureau shows authorities are 25%, though, more likely to solve stabbings than shootings. You might wonder why. It's because to stab someone, you have to be a lot closer, which leads to a lot more forensic evidence.
And generally, that's more of a personal relationship crime.
That's right.
A lot of the shootings they don't solve are gang shootings, criminal
shootings. This case only has two possibilities. It's someone they knew or someone they completely did not know.
Right.
Or that third gray area, someone that was kind of stalking them that they didn't really know, but this person was in their orbit somewhere.
Right.
That's the other possibility. All right. We got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app. Are you all right?
I'm yeah.
Oh, I almost hit the floor when you did that during that commercial. That was fantastic. Dr. Charles Manson, holy mackerel.
I mean, he has murder
you
on the
brain. You owe him a makeup for that.
Jeez.
Yeah, what? How did that Freudian slip occur?
I don't know. I'm serial killers are on my mind.
From, wonderful Dr. Manger.
From the Idaho. Well, I'm sure he has a sense
of that's what Deborah Mark surmised, that you're thinking about
well,
killers.
Yeah, yes. I've got that Idaho thing on my mind, and things happen. Brain is starting to malfunction.
Did Manson actually kill people, though, or he just had his people kill people?
It seemed like he had magical powers over all those women.
Mind control.
And a couple of guys, and they did all the nasty work.
Yeah, I thought about that when I said, you have murder on the brain. I was thinking, wait, but he really didn't. He was
more of a cult leader.
Yes. Right. Ordering the killings.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Well, there we go. After 5 o'clock, another chapter in the sordid history of the L.A. County District Attorney, George Gascon. You know, he's only been DA 2 years.
Been a long 2 years.
He won the election in 2020, took office in December.
All the damage he's done in 2 years.
Wait till you hear this one. He wants to give preferential treatment to a certain class of criminals. Your jaw will drop when you find out who they are. We'll be talking to Eric Sadal from the L.A. County Association of Deputy DAs at 5:05 about this story. One thing after another. Well, thanks to the tabloids. In this case, it is the Daily Mail out of the United Kingdom. And, of course, it's New York chapter. It's new U.S. chapter. We've got an interview now with an adult daughter of the man who committed suicide at Disneyland last weekend. He jumped to his death off a parking garage. He was a California school principal by the name of Christopher Christensen, principal of a Huntington Beach school for 22 years, and he took his own life. He left behind a note detailing the fact that he apparently got in some domestic argument with his wife, and it resulted in a case of child endangerment against him. He was supposed to make a court appearance on Monday. He decided instead to kill himself. What the Daily Mail did, which shifts this story a little bit, is they talked to his adult daughter, 26-year-old Brittany Christensen. She is not the daughter of the wife he had when he killed himself.
Daughter of the first wife.
The first wife. This is a previous relationship. One of his three children he had from his previous marriage. His current wife, her name is Marlena. And what this daughter told the Daily Mail, and we can't say there wasn't money involved, because isn't that what we believe with some of these tabloids? They do pay for interviews? We don't know.
Oh, but, yeah. No,
because they're calling it an exclusive.
Well, that's how you get the exclusive.
Yeah.
Is you pay and nobody else wants to.
Right. So that definitely taints the account, but nevertheless, it's fascinating. She thinks that she was telling the Daily Mail that this wife, Marlena, was the abusive partner and is the one that tore up the family. Marlena has been very difficult to our family for about the last year. We haven't had any contact with her. I just now started regaining contact with my father over the last 2 weeks, and it's been great. He'd been trying to figure out how to leave her. In my opinion, it seems like this, in his mind, this was his only way out of the relationship. Pretty dire and desperate, though, isn't it?
Well, it's... If one of, this works for men or women, if one of the partners is truly unhinged, what happens is they're afraid, the saner one is afraid to leave the relationship because they don't know what the partner's going to do. You know, are they going to burn the house down? Are they going to kill the kids? Are they, you know, who knows how they're, or are they going to make wild claims that he beat me up, he molested the children? You know, that stuff happens, and either side can do it. And you could be very emotionally upset, but you're dealing with somebody who's, you know, psychotic. And it's like, all right, if I do the right thing, like the rational thing, and get out of the relationship, what's going to be that consequence? And you end up stuck because you don't know what to do. You could act, as bad as it is, you could actually make it worse. And finally, when he got this story, which made the news, that he... Child endangerment was all the headlines, which makes you go, oh, what the hell? Child endangerment? Was that like a sexual attack? And then
yeah, Marlena had two young daughters. They're not Christensen's daughters. They were his new wife's daughter. Apparently, they married like 3.5 years ago.
Right, so they didn't have kids.
And it was some kind of argument which resulted in this child endangerment case.
Right, so it didn't explain what Marlena said he did to the kids.
No, no, no. And in his suicide note, he basically just said he never touched anybody. He would never do that. And basically making it sound like even Marlena regrets the police calling the police that night.
But you know how it is with the way the system is. If a woman calls and says, hey, he struck me or he struck the daughters, you're done. It doesn't matter if it isn't true. You're done. You get the headlines. You lose your job. You got your reputation destroyed. All your friends will think that forever. It's like a nuclear weapon that some people pull in order to gain control of the relationship. If he's threatening to leave, how do you keep him from leaving?
Marlena shared with the Daily Mail a text. I'm sorry, not Marlena, but the daughter, Brittany, shared with the Daily Mail a text she got from Marlena, the wife. You're a horrible, disgusting excuse for a daughter and sister. Go find your dad. Play the hero. But it's me he will be missing in the morning. She also alleged, Brittany does, that Marlena, would be the stepmother, I guess, caused $6,000 worth of damage to her car after the argument. She said apparently her car got keyed. We had footage from her doorbell camera leaving the house in the middle of the night and then coming to my apartment and taking his car. So when we woke up, my dad's car was gone and my car had been keyed on every panel.
Yeah.
The wife showed a consistent pattern of manipulation and inappropriate behavior towards my family for some time now. And we know that relationships between step-parents and step-children can sometimes be fraught with a lot of...
Oh, often it just... I don't know. There's some weird biological surge that some people have towards the other kids in the family. I've seen that a couple of times among friends where... The attitude towards the partner's kids, very different than the attitudes toward their own kids or kids that they had together. I mean,
Brittany said she'd done a lot personally to my family recently, to myself, to my husband. There's a lot going on. This is very complicated. In my opinion, it was a slow chipping away at my dad's soul for much longer than just 2 weeks. And I wish at this stage she could have just left my family alone. So... That could have added to all the angst for this poor man that whatever was going on between him and this wife, his daughter got dragged into this and it was getting ugly between all of them.
It's one thing when it's kept behind closed doors, but when it goes public and your reputation's been destroyed and you know no one will ever know the truth, right? No matter what anybody says, everyone will always have doubts. Well, maybe he did do something terrible. That's just the way human nature is. It's a terrible part of human nature, but where are you going to go? Where are you going to go to prove that something didn't happen?
All right, we got more coming up, including the story of the day, I thought, because I looked at the photograph on a website this morning, and I wasn't sure what I was looking at until I read the story, and then I went, and I sound like John. Oh! John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app. Our guest at 5:05 will be Eric Saddall. He's with the L.A. County Association of Deputy District Attorneys. And what a story this is. Of course, it involves George Gascon, the L.A. County DA, giving special treatment to a certain class of criminals. You will not believe it. Or maybe you will, because it's George Gascon.
It's amazing what they think of in their brainstorming sessions, their strategy sessions, when you get a bunch of woke holes together, what they can come up with.
Yes.
You probably have never thought of this. What kind of ground could Gascon break? That something that he hasn't done before that will enrage you. Well, we're going to tell you.
Yeah, we have a lot to cover in the 5 o'clock hour.
I know what picture you're talking about, by the way.
We'll talk about San Francisco. Elon Musk is fighting back against the city because they're investigating Twitter for something a little bizarre. We'll tell you what that is. And, of course, they have a huge drug and homeless problem, and that's how he struck back and talking about it. Also... They've already reversed the plan for robots with explosives. Robot police with explosives, gone. Already rescinded. So we'll get to all of that in the 5 o'clock hour. Yeah, the story that disturbed me. I mean, this morning I'm looking around for material for the show, and I come to, it was the New York Post website.
Right. And you're scrolling up because they got lots of pictures and lots of stories, and then one picture made you stop and stare.
I'm looking at it, and I'm trying to think, okay, what do we have here? It's a person standing there, and I'm looking at it clearly now. I glanced at it this morning, in like a white gown. and their face looks like they've been made up to look like a zombie,
mm-hmm.
like a ghoul of some kind. It's very dark, but they're standing.
And there's a woman in front of her buttoning up a white gown, and there's a man standing behind her holding her shoulders. Her arms.
So, all right, I clicked it. You got me, right? There it is, clickbait. Well, then I saw the headline, and I thought, oh, my God. Now, keep in mind, before we talk about this story, that other cultures have different ways of dealing with the dead. They do.
Boy, that's a very
In fact, in Latino cultures, there's the Day of the Dead,
uh-huh.
where they honor the dead, and people walk around wearing masks that look like dead people. Have you seen the parades
sure.
and stuff like that?
Yes.
Muertos, whatever it is.
Not something I'd show up to, but...
In fact, I even noticed the last time this came up, and I think it's around Halloween, the Times actually put up like an altar where you could go and, anyway, participate in their own Day of the Dead, kind of, with post something. All right, here is the headline. Family exhumes grandma after 10 years, and they're shocked by her appearance. So what I was looking at in the picture that John described is indeed a corpse that's been dead 10 years.
Margarita Rosaria.
They dug her up. They exhumed her.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you do this? Could you imagine doing this to your grandma?
There's no explanation as to why they did it.
I think it's just because they are much more comfortable when it comes to dead relatives. They want to honor
just
them.
Just to have her.
And they may want to visit with her.
Have her over for dinner. The thing is, considering she's been in the box for 10 years... She had a full head of hair, reddish hair. She has skin.
And enough bones to be able to stand there with very little support.
Right.
The guy's holding her arms, but that's about it. She's standing there like she's ready to walk with them to dinner or somewhere. Although
yeah.
she's got the white gown on. She looks like a...
Yeah, I mean, she does not have good color in her face.
Well, her face is basically skeletal.
Yeah, but there is skin over it. It's not bones.
It's not completely gone.
It's covered with skin. It's just...
Now, being ghoulish myself, my question would be, and I imagine it's true, she was embalmed, which does delay the decomposition a bit, right?
Right, and what does that smell like when you open the box?
Oh, that's not talked about, and this is just a video.
I mean, gases build up inside, and...
Rotting corpses don't smell good. Unless maybe after a certain number of years, that also... Remember, they sometimes find people dead in the homes after years?
Yeah, right.
Like the guy that sat in a chair in front of the TV and was dead like 10 years before they found him, or 8 years or something.
It said her skin was intact.
Do you think it looks intact?
Well, it's not torn. We're not seeing her insides, and we're not seeing bones exposed. It's just extremely weathered. Yeah.
There's a second picture where you can kind of see the side of her head, where definitely the left side of her head is very decayed.
Yeah.
Like her mouth is dropped open, too, because she's kind of... Yeah, she's not skeletal yet, but she's... It is amazing how much hair she has. I will say that.
Yeah.
That's not a wig? How old was this woman when she died, do we know?
I don't know. There was another small photo on the Post site, a photo of her when she was alive.
Oh, yeah, I see that.
And she had short white hair.
This looks like a man.
Yeah, I don't know.
She's got short, completely white hair, yeah.
Right, I guess she had a dye job before she died.
She's kind of scowling in that picture, like,
don't
do this. Don't take my picture.
Yeah, well, you know what she looked like? She looks like she has, like, one of those facial masks that sometimes women have when they get treatments.
Yes, when they go to the spa.
Right.
Deborah Mork gets that.
Yes.
Right.
Did you see these pictures, Deborah?
Like a mud mask?
I don't want it.
This is absolutely kind of amazing. It's almost hard not to look at.
I'll hold it up to the camera for you. You see?
Oh, wow.
Do you see her hair?
I do. I can't believe they're having her stand.
Wouldn't you want to look that good 10 years after you died?
I don't want anybody digging me up. No. And I don't even want anybody, if I'm in a coffin, I don't want anybody even looking at me.
I think we white European-bred people could learn something from this, being comfortable with dead relatives. And I think that's part of the culture, that they're not bothered by
but there was some
ghoulishness of this.
I'm not comfortable with death. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
Especially your own, I guess.
Yes.
Isn't that crazy?
The commenters were not kind. Why can't they let a poor old lady rest in peace? Why did they have to dig her up?
Yeah, leave me alone when I go under.
Let alone
right?
take pictures and a video of the whole thing.
Yeah, don't come bothering me. I don't want to hear from you. I don't care. Looks like I don't care how much you miss me.
This is the actual graveyard. You can see the gates behind it and the name Emilia Rerez. This is in the Dominican Republic.
Is this a thing in the Dominican Republic?
To exhume family members years after they die?
And just bring them home for dinner for a weekend?
Or dress them up?
Yeah. Wow.
I don't know.
It's a pretty gown.
A small crowd gathered to watch the aftermath of the exhumation.
They had a parade?
Just to kind of, I guess people were curious. You're really going to do this with Grandma? We're going to come watch. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about the latest chapter in the sordid history of only 2 years. L.A. County District Attorney George Gascon.
I think it's 2 years this week.
It is. He took office the first week of December 2020.
Yeah.
Yep. Wow. And he has another policy out. Mm-hmm. And it does affect a certain class of criminals getting preferential treatment. Eric Siddall, Vice President of the Association for Deputy DAs, will be on next. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.